I'm David Schreiner Khan, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep people stuck. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Tanya Alvarez. Tanya is the co-founder and CEO of Owners Up, a platform which advances solopreneurs' businesses through accountability, goal setting, and community. Over the past 15 years, Tanya has accumulated marketing experience with international and U.S.-based companies such as Nike and U.S. Olympics. She started her first company at the age of 25 and grew it to be a profitable company from credit card debt to over $1 million in gross revenue in the first year. Since then, she has founded, bootstrapped, sold, and invested in several companies. Tanya, welcome to the show. It's great to have you on.
Thank you, David.
So you're in a really interesting space in your current business, and I wondered if we could start off by you talking a little bit about why you are drawn to that space, why you're doing what you're doing with your current company, and a little bit more about your story and how you kind of got into this.
Okay. So I notice a lot of solo entrepreneurs were really isolated and they weren't moving forward because they didn't have anybody to bounce ideas off of or really just champion them. So a lot of people get stuck on that. Maybe I need to work on a little bit more that kind of perfection mode. And when you have people around you saying, you know, that's awesome. And you're like, are you sure it's awesome? And you're kind of still working on it. And somebody just pushes you forward. You actually save more time. So in a nutshell, solopreneurs are kind of like working like with horse blinders in the sense and not seeing like any blind spots or anything that obstacles in front of them. So what I wanted to do is have something where people meet up every single week via a video call. So you could be anywhere in the world and really kind of get that rhythm and momentum in building the habits to move their company forward and like revealing any blind spots that they wouldn't have if they're working alone.
That's really great. And I know you've been involved in other businesses. Can you talk a little bit about a plateau or two that you might have experienced and share a little bit about what the gap was between where you were, what your dreams were, and maybe how you overcame that?
Yeah. So my first company was a performance-based marketing agency. And we were growing in, we had offices in New York and Columbia. And we were growing so quickly, and I started realizing that I was the bottleneck. Everybody was coming to me saying, can I get this done? And I was like, and I wasn't able to kind of like move the company forward and expanding beyond the certain amount of revenue I wanted. So I was like stuck. And then I started not really liking what I was doing in the sense of I was playing the HR role and managing people, not doing strategy, not like helping clients as much. And I was stuck there. And I was like, I started what a lot of entrepreneurs I see started falling out of love with the company that they built. So luckily for me, I kind of created like I had a group of community to bounce ideas. And then I also hired a business coach. And what I found out is I wasn't doing the systems and answering like the right questions for people in the sense of like having it documented. So every time a new employee came, I was kind of training them. I gave them a manual that I felt that had all the answers that were obvious to me. But when you're too close to the material, some of the most common sense things aren't that common sense. And once I started building that up, I was able to scale it and bring in more and more people and expand our office and employees and then finally fall in love again with my business. And that was just the biggest lesson because sometimes when people are just stuck, and they end up doing human resource and they realize it's employees that they're saying that the employees don't work. It's actually no, it's an owner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, often the owner is the bottleneck. I've seen that many times. What were your dreams for this business?
What I wanted to do is I wanted to go on and do more. We were doing mobile kind of offers and I wanted to build out the team in Columbia and New York. And we were kind of stuck in building the team in Columbia to about 4 people. And then the New York office to 3 people. And I wanted to expand that. But when you grow past, I would say 10 employees, it's you have to have like manuals, you have to have systems to be able to scale that.
And how did it feel when you realized that you weren't growing at the rate you wanted to be, and you had a dream of what the company would look like down the road, but it wasn't really moving in that direction? How did that feel?
It was miserable. I literally hated going to work. I was kind of, the self inner critic was coming out, and I was doubting myself, doubting my business abilities, just everything. It was going down a bad rabbit hole.
You know, it's interesting that you say that you hated going to work. A lot of entrepreneurs, particularly those who have been employees for part of their working life, they often talk about how they hated going to work when they were employees, but they love being an entrepreneur. It's interesting hearing you talk about hating to go to work as an entrepreneur, and something that you've created suddenly doesn't feel so good.
Yeah, because I didn't have a solution. It was literally my blind spot. And I was trying everything with what I knew, right? But I needed somebody else to get me to that next level.
And what was it that made you realize that you needed help?
I think it's when I started trying everything that I knew was possible, and I started just kind of like crossing it off. And as I was getting frustrated, my employees were getting frustrated at the same time. And I was like, something is going to break.
How did you find the most transformational help?
So I went through this. It wasn't one of those where I just found somebody very quickly. I actually went through a lot of entrepreneur organizations, communities, meetups, you name it, looked into like some sort of online course, everything I can imagine. And then what ended up happening is I found somebody who actually knew the industry and was able to kind of like say, oh, this is what people are doing. And then also give me the coaching to move me forward. And really, it was a mindset, because when you're an entrepreneur, your mindset's great, but the moment your mindset's a little off, it can just impact your business in so many ways.
Since you spent some time looking for help before you found some help that would be transformational, what kind of tips would you offer our audience about how to go about finding the help you need when you need it?
Good question. So the first thing I did was join communities. And what I loved about it is you meet up every month, but a month wasn't enough for me. And it was too many, like I had to update people on too many things I was doing. So what I would suggest is figure out, do you need to have like feedback, or do you need tactical advice? And if you need tactical advice, I would look into people that have had that experience, have worked with a number of companies within your industry. So they know what the latest thing is, like the latest techniques, what is working, so you don't have to explain your industry as much. So if you're looking for something kind of like an outlet to kind of go through things, I would say join a group, kind of one of those round tables that meet every month. And if you're looking for tactical, look for a business consultant who has dealt with companies and have been able to scale them.
Yeah, that's actually a really interesting distinction, talking about the need for feedback on your ideas versus feedback on tactics.
I
don't know how many people try to divide up their need for help in that way.
I think it was because when I attended the monthly events, I had to explain, like I was excited to meet up and kind of have an outlet, but there wasn't an action item. There wasn't anything that was moving my company forward. I left the meeting feeling good, but it wasn't enough.
And at what point did you transition from wanting to run your own company to running support groups for other companies?
The moment happened when I started realizing a lot of entrepreneurs were going through, I specifically target companies that are breaking the six figures, they're very close to it, and then they want to go from six figures to whatever they feel is success. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's usually over a million, and sometimes it's just right around under a million. And what I found is they need a little bit more rhythm, right? So I combined what I liked about the tactics and I liked about the communities, and I put them together. And just throughout everything I've ever achieved, even through working out, through, you know, academics and entrepreneurship, I always had a group, a community of champions who saw me for my greater self. And why I say my greater self is just being an entrepreneur is an absolute roller coaster. And sometimes you have doubt. And when you have champions kind of encouraging you, pushing you out of your comfort zone, that might be enough for you to move forward. And then also, it's keeping them updated on what's going on in their business. Like, you don't have to update them every single week, like every month, like, hey, this has happened. And during that time, the first 5 years of your business, there's so much change going on week by week, literally hour, minutes.
That is so true. And we all know who our friends are when we were in a narrow space.
Oh, yeah.
So now that you're helping other entrepreneurs deal with some of these struggles, what would you say are some of the steps that are most needed to help a business smash a plateau?
So three things that most entrepreneurs don't do. One of them is they don't set their week up, right? So they don't know what their monthly goal is, what their weekly goal is, and what are their activities. And they also don't review their month after it's done or review their day. And that simple habit will allow you to get more structure, which allows you to have a system which creates freedom for you. A lot of people are like, well, this is too rigid. That's why I started my own business. But then what ends up happening, if you don't do that, you react to everybody else. You're reacting just to any email comes in. You're reacting on your emotions. You're reacting on your feelings. So that's one big thing.
Uh-huh. Which means that your business is running you. You're not running your business.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's great.
And the second thing is really kind of when, like, writing your business, you know, there is no formula. Everyone is saying, oh, you, like, people are selling online courses that are like, this is the exact marketing for you. Every industry is different, and every entrepreneur has their own personality and how they want to convey that. So when you're setting up your goals and your strategy, you want people from different industries to give you that feedback so that you're not doing what everybody else is doing. And then you can actually, like, if you come up with a strategy, people can start, like, poking holes in it or saying, no, this strategy is great. Go for it. So those are two big things I've seen. And then the third one is, even if you're not in a group, just surround yourself with people that are going to push you out of your comfort zone. And when you're getting pushed in, or, like, I would like to say encouraged instead of pushed, right? When you're getting encouraged out of your comfort zone, you want these people to kind of remind you what you've already achieved and really focus on the progress and not the outcomes. People are so stuck on outcomes, like, oh, I need to make this revenue. And then they don't realize how much that they've actually achieved during a certain amount of time. And it's all about a learning process and reiterating.
You know, these are really interesting points because going back to the first one, setting up a structure, I can't tell you how many entrepreneurs I come across who are so resistant to structure. Yet you're totally right. Once the more they implement structure, the more freedom they have. It's counterintuitive, but it's very true.
Yes, and then even I do this with working out. It's like if I have a structure of working out, I guarantee I'm going to work out like 5 times a week. But if I just let down the emotions, there's going to be a day when I don't even feel like working out, and I know that. Working out helps my mood and just healthy, like I just feel good overall. But if I let my emotions dictate that day of how I feel, I would never work out, right?
Right. No, it's really true. The second point about that there's no one formula for success is another one that I think people really get stuck on because we look at what seem like breakthrough success examples. And what we don't realize is there was a lot of hard work that went into it. And the breakthrough is just when we know that somebody else has had a breakthrough as opposed to all the steps that they went through along the way to figure that out. And that third point about looking at progress is also, as entrepreneurs, we're often really hard on ourselves. We look at what we haven't done yet, and we compare ourselves to others who we perceive to be more successful than us. But looking back over what we've achieved and just iterating on that so that we can do a better job with the next step is so important.
Yes. And I realize that a lot of in Owners Up, when we actually put people in communities and they actually share what their monthly reviews are, how they're going about it, they all learn from one another. And then it also allows them to help out with that system and having a healthy business. Like, okay, it's monthly review time. because when we were working for somebody, we actually did monthly reviews. We had to plan out. But then all of a sudden, when we become entrepreneurs, it's like, oh, we don't want to do that. But that's part of what made us successful.
Exactly. So, Tanya, I wonder if you might be able to share a couple of stories of some people that have taken advantage of this community support and have really smashed a plateau as a result.
So there's one business that what they were doing was they were developing websites. So essentially they were, it seemed like they were a project manager, right? And she was in business for over 3 years. And she was kind of stuck right around like in the six figures. And then all of a sudden we realized what she was able to do was scale people. She was really good at just looking at patterns and seeing what happens with their business and how can they scale it. So she rebranded her whole company, looked into her ideal client, and now she's not in that famine or feast mode. She has consistent revenue. But I don't think she would have ever achieved that, and she might have ended up like quitting what she was doing and going back to the corporate world. So with the whole group kind of like telling her, oh, this is what you're doing well, and then she started seeing patterns, it was something that she was able to use that community to encourage her and move forward. We also have another, we have a creative who is like, he's looking into being the next Coldplay, right? And usually with artists, what ends up happening is to support their talent, they end up bartending or waiting in restaurants or things of that sort. And what he ended up doing is he helped people do songwriting. So now he just helps people songwrite for literally 2 weeks, and the rest of the other 2 weeks is like performing, doing what he loves. And now he's making consistent revenue.
That's actually a great example, because artists often struggle to make consistent revenue and to make a living. And there seems to be what I wonder if you think this is a myth about artists that like the myth of the starving artist, that it's so hard to make a living as an artist. Do you think some of the principles that you work on with your groups can be applied across the board for people in the arts to do a much better job of creating consistent revenue?
Absolutely. So one of the things that the creatives are always saying is that they have to be motivated, or they have to feel it or move, but actually it's the opposite. You actually have to have structure and say, okay, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to write, or I'm going to like tap into every day, no matter what, just starting to write that one sentence or designing or whatever it is that they have. So the ones that have succeeded have embraced a framework and kind of like a rhythm to allow them to create that momentum.
And what happens if you, like you were describing with working out, what happens if you hit a few days when it's really hard to sit down and follow through on that structure, particularly if you're, as a creative person, you're probably producing your creative work on your own?
Yeah, so we have fun little consequences with Owners Up. So you kind of declare what you want to reach as a goal. And if you don't complete it, then what ends up happening is we do like, it's called rejection therapy. So maybe you have to negotiate coffee at Starbucks, right? The price of coffee at Starbucks. Or maybe you have to just go to your local deli and ask something for free. And you have to be okay with getting with no, and knowing that everything's all playful. So this is one way where we've been able to kind of have it fun in the sense of you're achieving your goals. And if you don't, it's something to grow out of your comfort zone. So with the creative individuals, when they're not doing it, they're like, oh, I need to write something because I really don't want to go negotiate at Starbucks.
That's great. That's great. What on a slightly different note, what tips can you offer for people who know they would benefit by getting the right kind of help, but are resistant to either devote the time to do the work, or they're resistant to investing the money in paying for the help?
So first, they have to really be aware of the pain. So no matter how much they need it, they have to be aware. So they have to say, if a year from now, if I'm in the same scenario, would I be happy? The answer is usually no. And then what actions are you going to be doing differently to get you there? And if they're not doing anything differently, then they're stuck at the same way. And they have to see that they have nothing to lose in investing a month or two, even if they're strapped with money, because the time that they're in that kind of state of doubt, and state of like thinking about, you know, maybe I need to join a company or going back to that talk, it's really not going to get them anywhere. And you're better off having somebody really just helping you see blind spots, but you're kind of can't see it because you have such a negative lens right now.
I think you're right that setting some very specific targets about what you want to reach within a certain time frame and essentially setting a deadline for yourself. Either I'm going to take different actions and achieve, you know, whether it's 20% more in revenue, or I'm going to get 6 new clients in the next 6 months, or whatever your goals are. I think setting some very specific targets and telling yourself that if you're not going to reach it on your own or with whatever method you're using right now, then at the end of that period, it's time to get help.
Exactly. And if you can't afford it, literally look for 3 other people who are in different businesses, but you find that their advice would move you forward. And then start having weekly calls.
Which also means that you've then got to be in charge of making sure these weekly calls happen.
Yes, and you have to have structure.
Right. Yeah, the structure is really important. It's interesting how people often, they're so resistant to the structure.
Mm-hmm. Or they want somebody else to motivate them or push them.
Right. Now you got to be motivated by yourself.
Mm-hmm. So it's either you pay for it or you motivate yourself in the group that you're creating.
Tanya, what kinds of conflicts do you see in the kinds of people you work with where there seems to be a misalignment between their overall mission and purpose and what they end up doing in their business, and how do they overcome that? You know, whether it's work-life balance issues or whether it's, I really wanted my business to make a difference in the world. I want to make a difference in my employees' lives. I want to see some fundamental changes in my clients, but I'm not seeing it. How do you recommend that people overcome that kind of misalignment?
Good question. So my big thing is everybody needs to look into their well-being. And I think a lot of entrepreneurs don't address that. It's either exercising, meditating, whatever it is, taking a walk, whatever that well-being is. You should dedicate an hour a day to it, because you eventually will burn out and you won't be able to think strategically. So people always think that they can just work and not have that 1 hour. So I always encourage people to do that. And we actually track their well-being on our app. The second part where you're asking is if they're aligned to their purpose. Mm-hmm. So if they're not aligned to their purpose, what ends up happening is they're not happy. That's a first signal that you're not aligned. So they end up like having clients that don't align to their purpose, or it's like a big, like it's, maybe it's a consulting and they have this, they're consulting a client, but the client's draining. So it's a really focus. And once you start, your energy starts draining, then you're not aligned and you need to kind of make those movements. And what we do is usually when people are in that stage, they just see that they're miserable, but they don't realize why. And it's usually really narrowing down to what are your values and who's your ideal client. And we do an analysis on that on one of our calls.
Do you see any difference in the kind of work you do between business development or business strategy and personal development? Or do you see them as being very intertwined?
I think it's very intertwined. We don't really focus on mindset. Usually the people that are in Owners Up are growth mindset. They already are ready to go for it. But when they have a little bit of their dips, we're able to encourage them. We're just like their cheerleaders.
Mm-hmm.
And we're always helping them to grow out of their comfort zone. Right? And encourage them to scale. And the reason being is like, if they're able to scale, then they can fire themselves. And what I mean by that is not literally firing themselves, but take more vacations, have the company run, continue doing what they love, but not because they have to.
Right. And find more balance in their lives.
Exactly.
Tanya, what's your dream for what you see, what you're doing, turning into?
I would love to see more solo entrepreneurs succeed, even when my mission is overall to see more solo entrepreneurs find success, whatever terms that they find success, And if that was a world where everybody was doing what they love, like, that's a world I want to live in.
That's great. And what are you doing now that is exciting and moving you further along in your own journey?
Currently, what we're doing is we're able to kind of show stats. So a lot of solo entrepreneurs, there's not really hard stats on how people are accomplishing things, where they're spending time, and what stages. So we have a number of entrepreneurs that are in Owners Up, and they're consistently putting their stats in there. So we're actually tracking their progress. So soon we're going to be able to release like what it is at what stages, like where you should be focusing on. Is it marketing and sales at that time, or is it creating systems? So I'm really excited for people to have kind of milestones that are real. You know, it's not like these startups where if you're a solopreneur and you're growing a business that's a service base, you can actually get stats, not kind of like these surveys and people kind of like maybe saying they have like three or four multiple choices and they have to just choose one, right? Here it's stats for the entrepreneurs going through building their company to six figures and then past six figures.
Yeah, that's really fascinating because I'm not sure that I've seen any place where these kinds of stats are available.
Yeah, I'm really excited to kind of showcase that and saying like where it is, what type of businesses it does it fall into, how many employees.
That's really great. Tanya, how can listeners learn more about what you're up to, learn more about you and your business, and follow you?
Yes. So we have an Instagram account, and we also have actually a free trial for a month going on. So they can go to ownersup.com/free trial. And if they just want to kind of send me that they heard me in the podcast, just send me an email, Tanya, T-A-N-Y-A @ownersup.com. And then it's a no risk 1 month free and check it out.
Sounds great. Well, Tanya, thanks so much for taking the time to join us today on Smashing the Plateau. It's been a really fascinating conversation about how you can get the kind of support you need to smash the plateau, particularly if you're a solopreneur. So thanks again for coming on. My guest today has been Tanya Alvarez, co-founder and CEO of Owners Up. Thank you again, Tanya, for joining us.
Thank you, David.
Thank you for listening to Smashing the Plateau, the podcast produced by Tend Strategic Partners. I hope you enjoyed our discussion. What has your experience been getting help when you've hit a plateau? What would you like to learn through this podcast that would give you the support you need? Connect with me on LinkedIn and Twitter to continue the discussion. Please share this episode with your colleagues and friends, and it would help a great deal if you'd write a review on iTunes so that new people can find us. I hope you've enjoyed what you've learned. I know your time is precious, and I want to thank you for spending some of it with us today.